Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 51. Hymn number 51. Praise the Savior, ye who know him, who can tell how much we owe him. Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in him. Trust in him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those he loves from him. Keep us, Lord, O keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own.
Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 62. Hymn number 62.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him with Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight. But downward bends his wondering eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne.
To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified.
Good evening. Can we turn to Nehemiah chapter 1? Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanai, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth the covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou hast commanded, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye return unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out to the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Oh Lord, we pray that you would be merciful to us, Lord. We don't keep your commandments. We don't do as we should. And we pray that you would gather us, Lord. We pray that you would forgive us for what we do. We pray that you would make us more like you, Lord. Draw us nearer to you. Lord, we pray for our family that don't know you and don't care anything about you, Lord. We ask that you would be merciful to them and gather them too, if it be your will, Lord. We ask that you would be merciful to the people of this congregation that are sick and afflicted, and raise them up if it be your will, Lord. We thank you for your blessed Son and for a place to come to worship, Lord. Thank you so much. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 352.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life, the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Read two verses of scripture, Romans 5:10 and 11. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to talk about Christ, our atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ, our atonement. The word atonement appears 77 times in the Old Testament. It's a prominent word in the Old Testament. Here in Romans 5:11, it's the only time it's mentioned in the New Testament. And actually, the word means reconciliation. Reconciliation. And why is this word so prominent in the Old Testament and not in the New? Well, the word atonement is used differently now than it was in the days then. In Leviticus 16, in the Day of Atonement, the word atonement was used 16 times in the Day of Atonement. And you know, in that Day of Atonement, that meant the high priest was the only one who done all the work all day. Nobody else done anything else. Nobody else done anything. And that tells us of our Lord Jesus Christ being our priest. And we don't do any work. He did it all. He did it all. But under the Old Testament, it dealt with one thing. Just one thing. One thing. But now in the New Testament, it's altogether a different meaning. And it stands for one scriptural experience. In the Old Testament, it stands for one scriptural experience only. And that happened on the Day of Atonement. And it had it one day a year. And so it stands for that one scriptural experience on the Day of Atonement, where the high priest went in with not blood for himself and then blood for the children of Israel. And then they put it on the head of the scapegoat and sent a fit man out in the wilderness. And they put it on the head of another goat. And they took that goat and slew that goat. And that all stood for the sins being put away till the next year. But it was all done one scriptural experience. But today, when we look at this word atonement, it deals with and it's for the whole sacrificial and redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole of it. The whole of it. Not just one aspect of it, but the whole of it. The work which our Lord Jesus Christ wrought out for His people was so great, so glorious, so varied in its aspect. Godward. And that's the first thing men need to understand, that what Christ did, He did for God first and foremost. And then all the things that He did for His people, manward. And so one word can't explain it, or one word can't express it. And yet here's one word that talks about our Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive work, the salvation that He accomplished, and all the different ways that He does it. And so let's look at this blessed truth, atonement, here in Romans chapter 5, the one time it's mentioned in the New Testament. You know the reason why we need an atonement? Verse 12 tells us. Wherefore, as by man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the reason we have to have an atonement, because of sin. If man didn't have sin, he wouldn't need an atonement. He wouldn't need an atonement. And there's no time in history, no place on the planet where men did not offer sacrifices when they approached their gods. And there's been lots of gods. The first two brothers mentioned in the scriptures, Cain and Abel, they both came with sacrifices to approach God. One had a view of God that wasn't right, and another had a view of God that was true. But they offered sacrifices. And these people, there's people still offering animal sacrifices today. But they offered human sacrifices. You know, you can go to Mexico, you can go to Peru, you can go to where had all these altars and these great big temples that, you know, and all over the place. They offered human sacrifices. They'd offer virgins. They'd offer the firstborn of their children. They offered animals. Man by nature, they'd offer food. Man by nature knows that there's something wrong with him. And when he needs a help from God, little g, well, then he'll start making his sacrifices and making his offers and trying to make his way to get his help from his God. Is that not right? He'll always bring a sacrifice, always bring a sacrifice. They always have, and they always will, and they do it today. They bring a sacrifice. If it's nothing, listen to this, if it's nothing but their own goodness, they'll bring it. If it's nothing but their own morality, they'll bring that. If it's their own self-worth, they'll bring that. They'll bring anything they possibly can bring. I heard a little thing today where a little girl said, "I want to be good and do good." Her mother got killed and she was just a child, and she'd go to her mother's grave and she said, "I want to grow up and be a good girl so I can go to be with my mommy." That's the first thing that child said. "I want to be a good girl so I can go to heaven." Now that's what people do. They keep saying about, "I want to be good so I can go to heaven. I want to do good. I want to act good. And I know I'll make a few mistakes. I know I've made a few stumbles. Nobody's perfect, but they'll always have something that they can bring. If it's nothing but their own goodness, the works of their own hands, their own thoughts, their own opinions, their own view of God, they say, "Listen, here I come. I need help." And as quick as they get the help they need, then they don't need God anymore. And they won't need him again until they get in trouble. Is that not right? Their God is approached on the basis of two things. Two things. First, their concept of God. Their concept of God. And the second is their concept of themselves. And if your concept of God's wrong, then your concept of yourself will be wrong. If the concept of yourself is wrong and the concept of your God is wrong, then you're wrong. And that's the way. Do you know how men approach God as how they view him? And men approach God as how they view themselves. And you think about that whenever you start approaching God and I approach God. What is our, and then man's concept of God in this world is altogether different than the scriptural concept and how God presents himself in the Bible and how God presents us in the Bible. We need an atonement because we have sinned. He said, "We have sinned and come short of the glory of God." How far short do you reckon we are of the glory of God? People say it's like shooting an arrow and you shoot at a target out there and then it just falls way, way short. I'll tell you what, you know how far we are from how bad we've sinned and how far we are and how short we are of the glory of God? We are as far from the, our sin has caused us to be as far from the short of the glory of God as any man could possibly think. Far, far away from the glory of God. In fact, God's glory never even come into our minds until he done us like he did Isaiah and revealed himself, made himself known. And oh my. But if your concept of God and your concept of yourself is wrong, either one of them's wrong, then there's really no atonement. Oh, I promise, Lord, I promise I'll serve you if you'll save me from this. I promise I'll be good and I'll do better and I'll read my Bible more and I'll start even going to church if you'll do this for me. If you'd add that for me. But oh my. But all the scriptures tells us, we've proved before, both Jew and Gentile, all are under sin. All are under sin. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. And then look what it said here at Romans 5:10. It says, for if when we were enemies. Do you ever remember being God's enemy? When we were enemies. Oh my, enemies of God's sovereignty? Enemies of His grace? Enemies of His election? Enemies of His Son? Enemies of His righteousness? Enemies of His will? Enemies of God. He told us in one place, enemies in our, by our wicked works, enemies. Oh, listen, if a fellow's never been an enemy with God, then he's not been reconciled to God and he don't need an atonement. But I remember very well being an enemy of God, and I'm sure you do too. I mean, I don't care how long you've heard the gospel. I don't care how long you believe the gospel. There was a time you was God's enemy. Oh, you wasn't His enemy in your mind, but you was by how you acted. You was by how you talked. You was by how you walked. You were enemies by how you lived. You don't want to live on your own righteousness? You want to live on your own goodness? You want to live on your own works? You want to live on your church attendance? We all done that. Enemies. Enemies. And oh my, so oh, that's why we need an atonement, because we're sinners. All have sinned. And oh, we're enemies. Enemies. And now what in the world does that word atonement mean? It means to cover up. It means to cover up. Cover up. You know, turn to Genesis 6:14. David said, blessed is the man whose sins are covered, to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. But look in Genesis 6:14 with me for a little bit here. Let's look at something together. Christ our atonement. Oh, needed atonement. To cover up. This is the first time this word's ever used. Right here in Genesis 6:14. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. And thou shalt pitch it within and without pitch. That means seal it inside and outside. You know what that means? Make it judgment proof. Make this ark judgment proof. Pitch it within and pitch it without. That's the same word as cover. They made that ark was made judgment proof. There wasn't a drop of water got inside that ark. There wasn't no judgment of God that fell on anybody in that ark. Not on any animal, not on anybody inside it. It fell on the ark itself. And I tell you what, judgment proof is what it means. It means that sin is so covered up that God Himself regards it as neutralized, disannulled, and it cannot arouse His anger anymore. It can't. Y'all remember the story of Jacob and Esau, and Jacob stole the birthright, got the birthright. And Esau said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. His mother sent him away, sent him way far away, sent him over to Laban, her brother. He went over there and stayed for years and years and years and years and got extremely wealthy. And he's going home. He's going to go home. And Esau was coming to meet him. Esau had 400 men coming to meet Jacob. And Jacob had already, you know, Esau said, I'm going to kill you, Jacob. I'm going to kill you. All these years had passed, and Jacob had, oh my goodness, he's so wealthy. So he said he had put him in three bands. Said, you go out there and you meet Esau. And if he's going to kill anybody, he'll kill you all, and he won't get to me. But he kept, and then he sent another bunch. And you know why he did that? To cover his face, to appease his anger, to keep him from coming after him. And I tell you what, that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. I mean, He faced all of our enemies, and He didn't send nobody in front of Him. He did it all by Himself. Huh? Oh, my. I tell you, God's offense has been taken away by our Lord Jesus Christ. When that high priest on the Day of Atonement went behind the veil, and he stood behind that veil and stood before that mercy seat, that gold mercy seat with those wings of seraphims coming out and touching one another. And he stood before that mercy seat and he had him a bowl of blood. And he took that blood and he stood before that mercy seat, and the first thing he done, he dropped 7 drops right before the mercy seat, right before it. He had to be atoned for before he could even come before the mercy seat. Then he got up to the mercy seat and he sprinkled 7 times on that mercy seat. And the reason that satisfaction might be given to God Almighty. Why? Because that mercy seat and that blood on that mercy seat hid the tables of law, the 2 tables of law that was evidence of Israel's guilt and the breaking of the law. And that's what our Lord, he is our mercy seat. The blood, he's the one that brought their own blood. And in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, bless his name, there was satisfaction. Oh, satisfaction. I love that word more than any other word about the gospel. Satisfaction. Oh, I love that word. I love that word, satisfaction. Oh, God's satisfied. God's satisfied. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was satisfaction given to the righteous judge. The anger of Almighty God was taken away. And God's angry, he was angry over man's sin. And he's justly so angry over man's sin. And the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was so thorough at the cross. There was no temporary dealing with sin like there was under the Old Testament. No. No partial dealing with sin. The work of our Lord Jesus Christ does not pass over or overlook sin. It takes it away. It takes it away. John said this, "Behold." He saw the Lord Jesus Christ come and said, "Behold." Everybody stop and look who's pointing at. "Behold, there comes a man walking down through there. Behold, stop, look, look at there. Look at that man. Behold, that's the Lamb." Whose Lamb? God's Lamb. What's he going to do? He's going to take away the sin of the world. That's what he's going to do. Oh, my. You know, John said this. He said, you know, he was manifested to take away our sin. And here in Romans 5:9, look what it said. This, the blood, covered by the blood. But got to have some blood. But look what he says. "Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Saved from wrath because of him." The offerings under the law, they covered, but did not never take away sins. Those sins God passed over. You know, there was not one sin put away in the Old Testament. Not one sin was put away. Not one. Look at Hebrews 10 just a minute. Keep Romans 9. Look at Hebrews 10 with me. There was never, you know, in fact, when they came, the scripture says there, every year when they come to the Day of Atonement, or whenever somebody brought an offering for their sin, there was a remembrance of sin. They said, well, we went through this last year. We went through this Day of Atonement and our sins was transferred to the goat and he was sent off into the wilderness showing our sins taken away, and the other one was slain to show that God's satisfied with the death of another. So there was a... And then they come back and said, we got to do it again. Here we are. We're coming to have atonement for sin again. Never put away sin. But look what it said here in Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow, that's what it was, a shadow, of good things to come. Oh my, what kind of good things? Good salvation. A good Savior. Good things to come. And yet that law had not the image of the things. They was not the very image of things. They were just a shadow. And can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Year by year could not make them perfect. Couldn't do it. If they could have, would they not have ceased to be offered? If they had been made perfect, they would have not offered them. They'd stopped offering them. But because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin if they would have worked. But in those six sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Oh my, but our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord's death was not like that under the law. His death made us perfect. It made us perfect. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord's death put away sin completely, absolutely. God doesn't see them. God can't find them. And God ain't looking for them. You know why? Because they're gone. They're gone. He can't find something that don't exist. What happened to them? Christ put them away. Oh, put them away. And oh my. Well, how in the world, who provided this atonement? Christ our atonement. We need one because we sinned. It means to cover. But our Lord Jesus Christ, our sin's not covered. It's taken away. Taken away. We sang that song, they're all taken away. They're all taken away. My sin is all taken away. And well, look here. I want you to see where this atonement come from. Who's the source of this atonement? Isaiah 53. Who's the source of this atonement? Where did this atonement come from? Isaiah 53. Look in verse 6. God himself is the source of this blessed atonement, Christ being our atonement. All we, like sheep, have grown astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And while we were doing that, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when you look in the margin, it says, may the iniquity of us all to meet on him. The iniquity of us all to meet on him. Now, what iniquities is he talking about? He's talking about from Adam to the last person born. He said he made them all to meet on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look what he says down in verse 10. Oh, listen to this now. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God made him our atonement. God put him to grief. The Father did. When the Lord shall make his soul an offering for sin. Oh, do you see that? Man had nothing to do with this. Oh, no, no. When you look what Cain offered. Look what Cain came and offered. He offered the works of his hands. He offered the fruit of the ground. He brought something that come from out from under the curse. The ground was cursed. And he brought fruit that was already cursed. Out of a ground is already cursed. Oh my. Look what the Pharisees offered. I thank thee, O Father. I'm not like this man, that man, this other man. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a liar. I'm not an extortioner. I fast and pray to give tithes of everything. And oh my. But oh my, that these people prayed for themselves. But oh, this atonement come from God. And why would God give us this atonement? Back over in Romans 5. Why? Why would God make Christ to be an atonement for us? Look in verse 8, Romans 5. Why the atonement? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Huh? Who did it? God did it. Why did he do it? God said, I want you to know how much I'm going to commend my love to you. I want you to understand it. I want you to understand it. You're sinners. There's no doubt about it. You're sinners. You're sinners. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cause my son to die for you because my love for you is so great and my hatred of sin is so great that I'll commend my love towards you. And while you're sinners, my son will die for you. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Pleased the Lord to make his soul an offering for sin. Keep Romans 5 and look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. What he said in verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And oh, what did he do? Hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Oh, my. Why the atonement? Who's the source? God is. Why? Because God loves us. God loved his elect, loved his people. Now back over here. Oh, the method of this atonement. Ain't that what it says here? The method of it. Much more than, verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood. Oh, it takes blood to make an atonement. The Passover lamb, the blood was shed. Oh my. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I give the blood as an atonement for the soul. For the soul. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he said when he was taking the last meal with them before he went to the cross? Before they went out into the garden and they came and got him. He picked up a cup and he handed it to them. He said, drink, for this is the New Testament and my blood, which is shed for many. My blood, which is shed for many. As that high priest went behind the veil, he had to have blood for himself and then blood for others. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went behind the veil, he didn't have to take blood for himself. He didn't even take no blood for himself. He took blood for us. He went behind the veil and he offered his own blood on that altar there. For us, he entered into the holy place. And oh, he got eternal redemption for us, not from year to year. And like when Moses went up in the presence of God. And he said, Lord, I want to see your glory. And he said, you can't. He said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you over here in this cleft of the rock. And you know what he said? I'll cover you. What I'm going to cover you with my hand. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to put my hand over you and I'll cover you. Then I'll cause my glory to pass by. And oh my. Put him in that cleft of the rock. Oh, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, Lord, let me hide myself in thee. And you know what the essence of the atonement is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now let's start back in 8 and let's just deal with these scriptures a little bit at a time. You know, man wouldn't dare to die for a good fella, you know. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, oh, we were sinners, Christ died for us. And if he died for us then, because of the love of God, much more, so much more, so much more then, being now justified by that blood, that death that Christ suffered, we shall be saved what? From the wrath of God through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And then again, he says this word again, much, much more. He always says, I told you this, but there's a whole lot more to go to. There's a whole lot more to this than what I'm saying, is what he's saying. Much more being reconciled. If we were reconciled by his death, and being reconciled by his death, how much more then shall we be saved because he lives? Because he lives right now, huh? Oh my. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself is the atonement. Oh my, and not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says, by whom? By whom we have now received the atonement. Christ is the atonement. I've heard so many people say, I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ. Well, I'm not. I am not trusting in the finished work of Christ. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. No, no. Christ himself is the atonement. Listen, it's not the sufferings of Christ, not the death, but the person of the Son of God. In his sufferings and in his death, you see, he's the propitiation. He's the atonement. It's not how much suffering, but it was who that suffered. It's not how much blood that was shed, but whose blood it was shed. It's not death itself, but who it was that died. So I trust the person that died. Because if you trust the person that died, then you get his work with it. It was a person that died. And it's the sufferings of him. It's the person that died. People die every day. People suffer every day. People go through lots of suffering every day. But it's not how much suffering. It was who suffered. Not even how much blood was shed. It was whose blood it was shed. And that's what I mean was Christ the atonement. You trust the finished work. I'm going to trust the person who finished it. Ain't you? Huh? Oh, my. Ask them why they're trusting in the finished work of Christ. It's who did it. It's who that did it that makes the difference. And I tell you what, and that's what he says, saved. We're saved. We're saved by his life. Oh, the result of the atonement. Salvation. If salvation meant in the Old Testament atonement, how much more should it mean in the New? And then look what it says in the putting away of our sin once and for all. In verse 11 said, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we've received the atonement. You know, it says here we joy in God. You know what that word joy represents? It represents boasting or glorying in. And God said, God forbid that any man should glory except only in the Lord. And so our joy or our boast or our glory is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone. Huh? Oh, my. He did it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He was the one who washed it white as snow. Our Father, our gracious God in heaven, you're so wonderfully merciful, wonderfully gracious. And Lord, may it, what we've said today, find a lodging place. Lord, you tell us when we preach and we use the word, we're sowing seed. Sowing seed. The word of God is seed. And may that seed fall on good ground. May it bring forth fruit to your glory. May we all bring forth fruit to your glory. Lord Jesus, I would love to honor you and explain and the things so much clearer. But Lord, you're so glorious and your work is so great. But Lord, I sure enjoy trying. God, bless these dear saints of God. Meet the need of every home, every heart. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. 125 in the hymn book. We'll stand and you'll be at liberty to go after this. Now, remember, we're going to have dinner here next Sunday. And the sign-up sheet's out on the 125. Let's stand together. Everybody ought to know this by heart. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stone. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Amen. See you Wednesday night, God willing.